You're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition. It's Thursday morning, 10 minutes before 9, and joining me as usual, Arts Editor Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
First of all, Jared, what's the latest with the Isabella Gardner Stewart Museum art heist? I believe there's been a new announcement this week.
There was. Just to quickly mention, the Gardner has announced a $100,000 reward, and this is for a different piece that was stolen during that horrible art heist in 1990. A Napoleonic finial was stolen. The museum, in order to go down every possible avenue, that's what they told me this week when I spoke to them, they said they wanted to take multiple tracks. It's better than taking single tracks in terms of their approach to getting information about the theft out far and wide. They are themselves sponsoring this $100,000 reward for anybody who may know anything about this finial.
And what is a finial exactly?
It's the top of a flag post, basically. I think there was an attempt to take this flag. They couldn't, so they took this finial, which, you know, many people wonder why they took it. It makes no sense whatsoever.
So we begin with a rather remarkable aerial sculpture above the Rose Kennedy Greenway.
Yeah, this is a piece that I think the entire city is talking about, which is so exciting to be talking about public art in a city in which there is not, frankly, enough public art. This is a drum that I have been beating for a long time.
Right.
But Janet Eckelman, who is a local artist, she's from Brookline but has done pieces and installations all across the world, has created this piece that spreads across the Greenway. It's tethered to buildings. It's nearly a half acre in size when it's spread out, 600 feet at its longest width. And it's titled As If It Were Already Here. And Janet Eckelman is somebody who has worked with fiber for a very long time, began as a painter. And you can see some of the painterly effects here, and especially in terms of color. It's got these pink and orange and purple hues that in the right sunlight, the way it glows, it almost, because it's also so ethereal, looks like a deep sea, translucent sea figure that you see floating above the Greenway. But I spoke to her recently and I asked her to describe her work, and this is what she had to say.
My work is experiential. It's how you feel when you walk underneath it and you experience something monumental and soft and billowing in the midst of hard-edge buildings. It's a counterpoint to the world we've created. And for me, if it questions that our physical world might have an entirely different sensibility, then what else is possible? Everything comes into question. We could imagine our world in so many alternate ways.
And we hear the wind there, which, of course, is what makes this sculpture work.
It breathes, it heaves. And I should also mention this is her other motivation for creating this piece is she's uniting the two Bostons that were divided by the central artery, which are, of course, now restored by the Greenway. So this is her piece to literally connect these two parcels of land in the city.
And where along the Greenway is it?
It's just if you're heading north in the city, it's just beyond the Dewey Square area, where the other main piece of public art by Shanique Smith is. And I should also mention, I'm glad that you said this, this is part of a larger effort by the Rose Kennedy Greenway to develop a curatorial program for public art on the Greenway. They're developing a 5-year program now in which we'll see lots of ephemeral pieces like this because this is only up through October.
All right. Next, we turn to a new album by John Steven. It's called Mr. Nice Guy.
And he is a nice guy, Bob. I talked to him for my show Open Studio. He's actually quite a sweetheart. Many people might know John Stevens.
I don't know him. No.
Well, if you watched American Idol season 3, you would know him. He was one of the finalists. He's this tall redhead, so he's quite distinctive. But he grew up in Buffalo, loved the old standards. And so he has released a new album, as you just mentioned, Mr. Nice Guy. He'll also release it on vinyl on July 28th because he is somebody who really harkens back to the old style, the old school way of doing things. And this album is a mix of standards and music that he's written himself, largely about his love life since American Idol, the ups and downs, the ins and outs. He told me it ends well. But he has been mesmerized by Sinatra, Dean Martin, all of those people since early childhood. And I asked him about that, about his first Frank Sinatra record that he heard when he was just 4 years old.
I have no idea why that particular music caught me the way it did. My grandfather gave me that record to take home. I listened to it for a week and came back and I did an entire replicated version of that album for my grandparents the next weekend, dancing, singing around their house.
At 4 years old?
At 4 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you could see the talent emerging then.
Yeah, we just have a little clip from his album, and again, this is some of the music that he wrote too. Where he has after he finished American Idol, he went right here to Berklee School of Music, which is why he has settled here. So this is a little taste of his music.
I'm intoxicated by you, dear. I'm intoxicated when you come near. There's no better feeling than when you're here.
John Stevens, Mr. Nice Guy. Next, we turn to the latest Mad Max movie, and it's back.
Yeah, this is – I'm so excited to talk about this, Bob, because this is really a fantastic film. I think only last week I was bemoaning, as much as I did appreciate the Avengers, how these major summer blockbusters have all become pat and sort of all end the same way. This is definitely not your typical summer blockbuster. Mad Max Fury Road, this long anticipated next installment of the Mad Max series, hits theaters Friday, tomorrow. And this is directed by George Miller, who did create the original series, which of course starred Mel Gibson as this road warrior.
Fascinating story about the first film as well.
Well, and one of the significant aspects of that is it developed this whole Australian vocabulary in terms of filmmaking and visual elements, and that all comes to the fore here. Tom Hardy stars as Mad Max. He says in one of the first few moments of the film that he's a road warrior searching for a righteous cause, haunted by those he cannot protect. And suddenly we find Immortan Joe, who's this dictatorial type presiding over this citadel in which he controls the water supply. So this is how he controls the population through water. Very poignant threads, I think, to the Middle East today, even what's happening in California, own West Coast now.
Yeah,
he dispatches the Imperator Furiosa, played by Charlize Theron, to fetch gas in Gasland off in the distance. And suddenly she goes rogue and takes off. I don't want to give too much away, but it's basically for his treatment of women. So she sets off with this band of women with her, eventually teams up with Mad Max, and it becomes this really fantastic film. Very, very visceral. These demented elements that all coalesce beautifully. I mean, George Miller is such a fantastic filmmaker. I feel like he pushes filmmaking forward here in terms of what you experience, what you see, and really how you feel about it. This was all shot in the Namibian desert, and a lot of it without CG. There is a lot of CG here, but a lot of fundamental filmmaking efforts, too.
Okay, Mad Max is back. And Pitch Perfect 2 in theaters on Friday.
Yeah, this is a sequel that doesn't necessarily measure up as much as Mad Max
did. Sound quite as excited.
But this is a sequel to the film from 3 years ago where you have sing-off groups doing a cappella or a version of a cappella. And really, this movie only sings when they are singing. So we have the Barden Bellas, who have, in a very, I must say, funny opening sequence, they're performing for the President and First Lady, and suddenly things go awry when Fat Amy, played by Rebel Wilson, has a wardrobe malfunction as she's suspended from silks, aerialist silks, and they must redeem themselves with European championships by confronting Das Sound Machine. So here's a little clip of that competition.
To all my neighbors, you got much flavor.
This is how we do it.
Let's break up.
Girls, you know you better.
As somebody who's just come off Sing That Thing, which we're in the middle of right now, I did really appreciate the music and the song and that love of music, and that's what does come through here.
All right, and next, tomorrow night, Open Studio at 8:30 on WGBH2. What will you have for us then?
We will take you up close and personal with the Rose Kennedy Greenway and that new aerial sculpture that we were talking about, and we'll go further into the Greenway's public art plan, and we also, you can hear more of my interview with John Stevens, Mr. Nice Guy.
Okay, also, you're a very nice guy, too. Jared Bond, for being here every Thursday morning on Morning Edition, filling us in on the art scene in and around Boston. Thank you, Jared.
Thanks, Bob.